Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. With these words, and usually, as the name kind of implies for today, with symbolic ashes, we are called out of our usual, our routine, and our busyness to remember that we are mortal. We die. In Adam, and from his very side, we were all formed by God. We were elevated from dust to be the very crown of God's creation. In Satan, and from his forked tongue, we were all deformed, turned against our Creator, set running headlong away from him. And in fallen Adam, and from his own image, we now collect the wages of sin's corruption. And it is death. We who are dust, bitten and devoured by that serpent, will return to it. And if we will not don ashes, then the Lord will find other ways to remind us that we are dust, and to dust we will return. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Just as it was the Lord who sought out Adam and Eve in the garden when they were hiding, so it is the Lord who always among us begins repentance. He hews us by the words of the prophets, and he calls out and invites us, return to me, the Lord your God. And as you do, rend your hearts, not your garments. Fasting and bodily preparation certainly are fine outward training. It is the words of Jesus, or himself, who says in the New Testament, when you fast, not if, actions do speak louder than words. And words and actions both confess faith, which never keeps silent. But these words and these actions that faith brings forth are not so that we may be seen by men, or so that we can impress others and therefore in our minds impress God as well. That is what makes ceremonies dead and empty. Because the Lord, as we heard on Sunday, looks at the heart. The Lord delights in different things. The Lord delights in repentance. The Lord looks on the faith which his own word creates, and which cries out even and especially from the dust and from the ashes. Today, the church takes up her yearly annual public fast. It is like the one that Joel called for in his day. Between the vestibule and the altar, you the priests, I the minister, gather. Perhaps not with visible tears, but with rent hearts to cry out, spare your people, O Lord. Our self-centeredness is exposed. Our grumbling stomachs will not even let us forget for a moment that we are children of Adam, that we are quick to care for our own stomachs and slow to care for the stomachs of others. And, of course, without daily bread and every good gift that comes from God's hand, mortals die. Shall we move the Lord to pity us? If he is displeased at our sins, will he maybe be pleased by our misery? Will we be able now, if we fast hard enough, if we give enough alms, and if we pray with sweat on our brows like great drops of blood, will we stave off the wages of sin? Will we raise the dead? Will we earn the Lord's forgiveness and pity? No. That has never been our faith, dear saints. But shining out tonight between these readings, between the ashes and the warnings and the litany of our sins and our sorrows, is the truth that has brought us here tonight. Even the truth which makes us turn to the Lord, when honestly, isn't the Lord the last person that a sinner might seek out? Is it not the God's anger that slays us? Is it not his commandments that we have blown off? Is it not his breath that turns us to dust? And is he not the one whom we ought to truly fear, since he is the one who is able to throw both body and soul into hell? But thou hast mercy on all, and hatest none of the things which thou hast made. Thou overlookest the sins of men for the sake of repentance. Thou sparest all because thou art our Lord, our God. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. These are the words from the Psalms, the words even from the wisdom of Solomon. Words which aren't just spoken, but are even to be sung, for us to hear them clearly and beautifully. Because they announce that the character of God is mercy. It is steadfast love. It is compassion. It overlooks the sins of men for the sake of their repentance, for the sake of turning us back to him. And he spares us, not because of groveling or deeds done by us in righteousness, but because he has made himself our God, our Lord of all things. And the afflictions that we face are not according to our sins, bearing the wrath that we might rightly deserve, or making satisfaction for our debt. No, if he were to mark iniquity, no one would stand. But there is forgiveness with him. God does not desire the death of a sinner, rather that he turn from his evil way and live. So it is that Luther's brief form for confession in the Small Catechism has us begin with the incredible assertion which we, you, not the minister, but you make, when you say, "Pastor, please hear my confession and pronounce forgiveness in order to fulfill God's will." It is God's will that your broken and contrite heart be absolved. That is what he wants. That is his will. His will is that the truth be told about your sins so that he promptly will not remember them. And it is God's will that you know it, and that you hear it, and that you believe it. Who knows if God will turn and relent, Joel says. You know. You know that God wills to do exactly that. Because you know what he has said in his word, in his promises, and he does not lie. Because you know it in Jesus Christ, the crucified one. You know it in the one whom God has sent to be the wrath bearer instead of you. Not only to demonstrate or to make a show or an object lesson, but truly to accomplish God's mercy. To satisfy all anger, to pay all debt. This is the Son whom God freely, willingly, according to what he wanted, gave up for us all. How then will he not also with him graciously give you all things? To this God, and before those who bring his word, we will dare to confess. And even on Ash Wednesday, even in our sorrow, even in the face of our dust, bringing forth dust that quickly returns to dust, we will press God on his own character. We'll tell him what he is to do, what he has said. We will push him on his own promises. And we'll even sing back to him his own words. Remember not against us our former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily go before us. Cut us off with mercy and grace. For we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. And deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Yes, and amen. It is not for all of our sorrows or our fasting or our contrition or our repentance or our misery that the Lord should help us. It is for the glory of his name. His name, his defining, his most deepest wish and his desire, which he has told us and given to us, that he delivers us, that he wants to save us, that he is here to purge away our sins, that he is here to feed us with his own body and blood, to forgive, to save, to rescue, to have mercy on us. What the Psalms teach us to sing, that is what the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord, God's Son, has demonstrated and has accomplished and proven beyond all doubt and all weakness that we have. Your sins are forgiven. You have a gracious God to whom confession of sins is justifying truth and who delights in announcing to you his absolution, a divorce that he accomplishes for you, a purging away of all sorrow, all sadness, all sin, all guilt, all debt, all death as well. Because here is the one who has become dust like you and like me. Here's the one who fed himself willingly to that dust-devouring serpent in your place to crush his head forever and to give you no power over you. Just wait till Sunday. We'll hear what he's done. And here is the one. Thanks be to God. Here is the one who raises again from the dust and from the ash heap. Because here is the one with the breath of life. To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will gladly return. Whenever you are reminded that you are dust, remember also that a broken and a contrite heart, this God does not despise. Because it's his will to pronounce the full remission of all of your sins, of all of your decay, all of your dirtiness, all evil of you and against you, and all death. He has put his own dust on the line for it. He's poured his blood into it, and he has marked you with the blessed sign of the Holy Cross for the glory of his name, the name which he has given to you to bear and to use and to push against him, because he loves to be caught in his mercy. And because you belong to him. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. And in him there is plenteous redemption. To which our dust gladly prays. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.